Yeah, so if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 34. And so this is a this is an important year for our church. So 2018, we've officially started what we call Blend and Extend. And the plan is this. The congregation here and the congregation in Richville, after much prayer and seeking the Lord and speaking with a lot of people, we spend a lot of time in elders' meetings actually talking about this, praying about this. We feel like we should blend the two congregations back together into one. It'd be just a greater dynamic with the whole group together. And so there's a church that used to be called Faith Bible Church, about 3 miles outside of town, going up Route 11. And long story short, if you haven't heard the testimony, I'll try to share it briefly. So that stopped being a church, or the doors closed as a church, and we were encouraged to pursue it, possibly buying it. So we were talking to the gentleman who was the kind of caretaker of the facility. We kind of made a verbal offer for like $25,000. There was some misunderstandings. He came back and said, the realtor told me it's worth $100,000. We were kind of caught off guard because we thought we'd get it for $25,000. Long story short, he went then to a lawyer with the incorporation papers of the original incorporation. And when they incorporated as a church, they wrote in a plan if the church ever had to be dissolved and stop being a church, it was supposed to be given to another church of like precious faith. So went from $25,000 to $100,000 to, hey, if you pay the lawyer's fees, you can have it. So, you know, we were like, wow. So we were like blown away by that and really feeling like the Lord was in this thing. So, but to make that work, we've got to do a big building project. And so that's basically what the Blend and Extend is. So I've been meeting with individuals and couples talking about the building plan. So if you're here today and you're like, I don't know anything about this, please forgive me. But for some of you that you have been in some of these meetings, and we're still going to have some of these meetings. I'm going to be meeting with more people in the next coming weeks to get this rolling and get it off the ground. So today, I'm going to be, for title's sake, my message is called From the Tabernacle to the Temple to Today, okay? And so, actually, truth be told, we're not the first group that's ever had to face a building project. And actually, the Bible has some really significant building projects that are recorded. And so I think it's really important that we look at these passages and look at these stories to, it's more than just putting up a building. It's more than just raising money, okay? There's a kind of a right way to do this and God's way to do it. And so that's really what we want to do. We want to do this in the Lord's way, in a way that honors Him. So if you have found Exodus 35, we're going to read several verses here, Exodus 35, and this is where the children of Israel are traveling along, and Moses is instructed into building a tabernacle. And so a tabernacle was basically a mobile, I'll use the word building lightly, it was a mobile building. It was tents and animal skins, and it was where the people of God would gather, and it was where the priests would do their ministry, and it was God's presence was in the tabernacle in a very specific and special and unique way. And there's tons of typology surrounding the tabernacle, all pointing to the work, the person and work of Jesus Christ. I'm not going into hardly any of that at all today. I'm basically focusing on how the resources were gathered to build the tabernacle. Okay, that's what we're going to be focusing on. From the tabernacle, and then we're going to look at when they built the temple. Same idea. How were the resources gathered to build the temple? So let's start in chapter 35, verse 4. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the temple." Let's jump over to verse 20. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, red skins of ram and badger skins brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering. And everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans, I don't know how to say that. How do you say that, Bob?
Artisans,
okay. Spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done." Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you. It truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, we just we ask you to lead us and guide us. Lord, it's exciting to have a building put up, but Lord, I believe with all my heart it's more than just a building. Lord, you want to grow us in the process. Lord, I believe that these stories, one of the main ideas that I get is how you grew the people, you changed the people, you were working in their lives through the process of putting up buildings, and I believe you still want to do that today. So Lord, we just thank you, we praise you, we ask you to bless our time as we look at your word, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So they're gathering resources for this big project to build the tabernacle. So just a few observations. Number one is this was God's idea, okay? God said to give an offering for the building of the sanctuary. It didn't initiate with Moses. It was God's idea. Now this giving was to be in addition to their normal giving, on top of their normal tithes and offerings. And it was for the specific purpose of this tabernacle, okay? Very specific in that scope. It was also to be led by the leaders of the group. We'll talk more about that in a little while when we look at the Chronicles passage. So the second thing is the expectation is that all would be involved in this. Now, you see a phrase over and over and over in this passage, and it's the phrase of a willing heart. Says that in verse 5. "Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart." Verse 21. "Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle." So you see this over and over. Verse 22. as many as had a willing heart. Verse 26, the women whose hearts were stirred. Verse 29, the children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord. Let me just put it this way. God doesn't want our begrudging gifts. He just doesn't. He wants all of our giving, all of our service to be of a willing, grateful heart. And so I just want to say it this way. If I'm throwing the challenge out here, you know, for us as a congregation to put our hand to this plow, and it's going to take some work, and it's going to take some effort, and it's going to take some giving, a lot of small gifts, hopefully some big gifts. But let me just put it this way. If you're not yet, like, willing, don't give yet. I'm not saying you're off the hook completely, because I'm going to challenge you to keep seeking the Lord and encourage you to, before God, bring this and say, Lord, what do you want me to do as part of this project? But if you're not at that place where you're ready to give it willingly, hang on to it just now, okay? Because I've noticed in my heart how an excitement has been growing in my heart. Now, I've been thinking about this and praying about it, understandably, more than you guys, okay? This is on my front burner. And so I've been thinking and praying about this and preparing sermons about this. But I just want to let you know, God wants our giving to be of a cheerful, grateful, willing heart. And that is what's pleasing to the Lord. All of these people that gave it, they were not coerced. They were not manipulated. Moses, there was definitely a challenge put forth. But it was the people that had a willing heart were part of this offering. Very important. Next thing is you need to realize that not all the gifts were equal. Some people gave gold, some gave silver, some gave bronze, some gave, you know, special kinds of thread and different materials and stuff. So it wasn't everybody gave the same. Everybody gives, all giving is according to what somebody has. Literally, in a congregation like ours, there are some people that could write a check for literally multiple thousands of dollars and feel it less than somebody writing a check for 50 bucks. It's just the way it is. That's the way it is in every church, okay? Not everybody's in the same season of life. Not everybody's in the same, has as much resources. It's just the reality. That's God's design. That's the way the world is. That's the way it is. So we always give out of what we have. We never give out of what we don't have. Okay, and I talked about this last week. A lot of people have the mentality, man, if I was rich, I would be such a giver. I'd build buildings. I'd support orphanages. I'd do all kinds of great work for God if I was rich. And my answer to you would be, you probably wouldn't, unless you're doing something with what you have right now. You know, if you're faithful now to sow into the work of the kingdom, then you would when you have more. To who is he who is faithful in little, you know, more will be given. And so we're called to be faithful in whatever it is we have. We always give out of what we have. Not equal gifts, but everyone really was expected to be involved. And the last thing here is there wasn't actually an end to this project. If you jump over to chapter 36, it says, verse 4, then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing. They spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work, which the Lord has commanded us to do. So basically Moses said, hey, guys, we got everything we need. You can stop now. So there will be a point when this project is complete. I don't know exactly when that is. Right now, we're asking people to prayerfully make a one-year commitment, but we're seeing at least 3 years of this happening. That's why it says a three-year stewardship campaign. And that's why we're asking for people to make a one-year commitment at a time, okay? So there will be an end to this. You know, if in a few years from now, you get word that, hey, Mike and the leaders are going to Hawaii again for their leadership getaway, you know, then you can maybe give me a call and say, hey, how's my building offering? Where's my building offering going? but we will say, okay, we're good. Enough's enough. That'll be a great day, by the way. We're not quite there yet. Okay, so this is gathering the materials that are needed for this project. Another important part of this, though, is the people resources for this project of building the tabernacle. Look at verse 30 of chapter 35. It says, "Then Moses said to the children of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. Excuse me. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him. And Oliab, the son of Ashmach of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen and the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works.'" So the point I'm making is this: it's not just the money needed to do a project like this. We also have to have the people resources to do a project like this. And so that's an important part of this. You know, we have a lot of people in the church that are very gifted, but we need to have the right people in the right place to do their part. That's like really critically important. And it's also, to me, it's really important to understand and lay hold of this, is normally when we think of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we think of things like preaching, prophesying, you know, laying hands on the sick, teaching the Bible. You know, all those things are, the Holy Spirit's involved in that kind of stuff. But, you know, making stuff, working with your hands to make stuff, not so much, right? Not according to this scripture. Not according to this at all. These guys were, it says, the Spirit of God gave them abilities to create, to make things. That is, to me, that's really significant. Really significant. Nobody should ever, I think we do a great disservice when we have a few things that we say, wow, that's really spiritual and spiritual work and God's anointing on this, and then minimize things that we think are lesser, like stuff people that work with their hands and can build. According to the scripture, we should never do that, okay? God gives people the ability to make stuff. I'm not very creative at all. I'm sometimes in awe of people that are creative. I've come to appreciate art and creativity. I'm not very artistic at all, but I mean, it's amazing what some people can do with their hands. How did you even like see that? Like, how did you even, like, you ever see these guys with chainsaws and they got a big old dead tree in there and they turn a stump of a tree into an artistic piece of work? I'm like, how'd you learn to do that? You know, it's amazing to me. But the point is that, for especially for God's people, there's a Holy Spirit gifting and anointing to create and to make and to build. And the other thing is, they also have the ability to teach. So it's one thing to actually do it, but in a project of this size of building a building, we need people to teach others. We need people to be able to, overseers, you know, to be able to know the big picture and what's going on. So not only material resources and funds, but we need people resources, the right people in the right place to do any kind of big project like this. So that's the tabernacle. Let's look at the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. This one to me is even a little more fun. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And this is building the temple. The temple was more of a permanent structure. And we'll just read the first three verses of chapter 28. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood.'" Let me just stop here for a second. And anytime I'm teaching the Bible, I always want to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm going to just take a little gospel bunny trail here in this part of the story. Okay, so King David, he basically, when he was set in and recognized as the king of Israel, he had it in his heart to build a temple, to build a house that would house the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence among God's people. And that was the first thing he wanted to do. It was really important to him. And so actually his friend Nathan the prophet said, "David, go for it, man. Whatever is in your heart, just go for it. God is with you. You go for it." And then that night Nathan went to bed and he had a dream. And in the dream, the Lord spoke to him. He says, no, David is not supposed to build me a temple. He's not supposed to build me a house because he has been a man of war and shed much blood. And so King David, you have to understand, is a type of Jesus Christ. Okay? He's a type of Christ. And a lot of times when we talk about David, we, like example, David and Goliath. I think we preach David and Goliath all backwards. For most of the church preaches David and Goliath backwards. Well, what do you mean by that, Mike? Well, I mean, we usually emphasize how big and bad and ugly and strong and how, you know, Goliath was. Listen, Goliath is not the main guy in the story. King David is. So when we preach the story of David and Goliath, we should preach it in such a way that we see ourselves like with David's brothers, all standing on the sidelines, with our knees knocking together, shivering, afraid, totally paralyzed in fear, because Goliath is out there every day just you know, roaring obscenities and just causing them to be full of fear. And they're totally helpless in this, you know, before this giant Goliath. But who comes along? God has a champion. His name is little David. And David represents Jesus Christ. And just like David conquers Goliath, only Jesus Christ conquers our biggest foes. Only Jesus can defeat the enemy in our life. Okay, so like I said, we've normally preached it like, hey, who's your Goliath in life? Go after your Goliath. You got to face down your Goliath. The point of the story is none of us can face Goliath except one. His name's Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's just a side note on the right way to see the story of David and Goliath. But, so the point back to David as a type. So David wanted to build this temple, but he was told not to. And in many ways, it represents, so who was going to build the temple? It was going to be Solomon. It was going to be David's son. So David, because he was a man of blood, did not get to build the temple. So in a kind of beautiful way, David represents Christ, and we could see ourselves in King Solomon, David's offspring. We get to build, in a sense, what Jesus started. Jesus shed his blood, okay? so that we could be part of God's family. And then he left. And he sent the Holy Spirit upon us, upon the church. And now we have the privilege to build and extend his kingdom and his rule and his reign. Where Jesus only started the process, we get to continue it. So in a sense, it's like King David and Solomon. We're kind of like Solomon. We're getting to build and do God's work today in 2018. And it should be a privilege. So back to gathering resources for the building project. Okay, let's keep reading 1 Chronicles 29, and we'll read probably half of this chapter or so. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom God alone has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great because the temple is not for man but for the Lord God. Now, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance." Let's jump down to verse 5. So, for gold, things, silver for the things of silver, for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then, this is David, who then, asks the question, is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Then the leaders of the fathers of the houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. So David basically puts out a challenge. He's like, guys, I have laid aside all kinds of resources out of my own treasury. And then he says, okay, what are you guys willing to do? It's basically what David has done here. Okay? He's challenged the leaders to follow suit. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. There's that idea again. They offered willingly because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Now David prays, and this prayer is beautiful. I love this prayer. Verse 10, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and it's all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I'm seeing your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. That's such an awesome, amazing prayer. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for reading too much scripture. I don't know that I can do that, but thanks for staying with me. I know it's hard sometimes. So just a few ideas from David's prayer and this passage. Number one, David led by example. Okay, and so this had to start from the top down, so to speak. So I just need to let you know, in terms of our project, all the leaders are on board with this. You know, we have like four, I'm considering myself an elder, Pastor Bob Dale here. We got four elders, two deacons. Out of the six of us, four of us, by the way, have made a pledge, and I know the other two guys are going to do it too. And so what I mean by the pledge is people are more than welcome to give big gifts toward this project. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. We need that. But we also realize sometimes the best way for people to give is just give incrementally and give, you know, as you have income coming into your life, you can continue to sow into this project. And so you can give on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. And all the leadership team is doing this. Matter of fact, one of our elders, Harry Harmer, literally is in the process of trying to sell his business and sell his home because he feels called to like give all of his energies to this. He's like basically giving me a blank check. He's like, "Mike, put me to work. Do anything you want. I'll help you pastorally. I'll help you visit people. I'll do evangelism. I'll do anything. I'll shovel. I'll dig. I'll put up walls. I'll do anything that needs to be done." He just feels so compelled, really, in his heart for this project. And so these guys are all in. Okay, they really are. And King David set the example. He gave out of his own resources toward this temple. And so you need to understand our leadership is all in on this thing. The second thing I want you to understand is that David saw this really as an act of consecration. Okay, verse 5, he says, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" So this is more than just a building. This is an opportunity for us to, in a fresh way, surrender to Jesus and serve him and practically, practically show our love and gratitude to him, okay? And it really isn't important in that. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So some people think, well, the preacher, all he does is talk about money. Well, listen, if you're going to preach out of this book, you're going to talk about money a fair amount, you know? Or someone might say, well, are you after my money? Well, not necessarily. God is after your money because he knows your heart and your money are pretty closely connected. That's exactly the truth. So giving, sowing, surrendering, whatever God wants you to do for this project, this is part of serving him and part of our acceptable sacrifice to Jesus. It really is. So this is an act of consecration and surrender. The third thing I want you to understand is that David himself was probably not going to enjoy this temple a whole lot. He was old at this point, okay? He was fairly old, and he wasn't allowed to build it. His son Solomon was the guy who built it. And so we have to have that kind of mentality. If we're just thinking the next couple of years, then, you know, it's not worth it. We have to have a long-term view. And if Jesus tarries, my heart is this. I mean, I'm 53. I'm looking at myself like, okay, I got like a 20-year window, not just to put up a building, by the way, but to raise up the next generation of leaders in the church. You know, I think it's such a blessing that Pastor Ford Reynolds, when he was 80 years old, he handed the baton to me, and I was set in as the senior pastor, so to speak. But the one thing I told Ford, I said, I don't really want to do this unless you're going to stay around with me. He says, oh, he wasn't even thinking about that at the time. He thought he was just kind of slip out of view. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this unless you're locking arms with me. And I think that was a huge part of the blessing of the transition of me getting involved in the church years ago, because Ford Reynolds was still around. So I want to do that for the next generation. Like, I want to be in the front row when the next pastor's up here preaching, and, you know, we're raising up the next level of leaders, and that is really an important part of this. And so we need to see this building. Let's be honest, it's not the temple, okay? We are the temple. The church is the temple. That said, though, it's a really important tool because it's where the people of God gather, okay? And so it is a really important tool, and so we need to think long-term. We need to think this thing's going to outlive us, and not just the building, but the church, if Jesus tarries, is supposed to go on further. And we, you know, someone once said, it's not what you do in life, it's what you start in life that counts. You know, I want to see the baton passed to Jesus' church be thriving. Amen? And the last one is this. David gave, and everything he gave, he acknowledged that it already belonged to God. You know, did you notice that a few times? It was like so significant in his prayer. He says, verse 14, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. So, you know, we brought nothing into this world. We came into this world stark naked. We bring nothing. We take nothing out. Okay? But we have an opportunity while we're here to sow and to give to something that literally will outlive us. And that is so that the church of Jesus Christ can go forward and thrive and have an impact in this region and far beyond that, beyond literally our lifetime. Okay, that's really wild. And so we get to give everything we're giving. It already belongs to God anyway. So I heard one pastor said this. He went to his congregation. They were in a building project. He said, hey, good news. We have got all the money needed to build the building. Everyone's like, what? What? Who gave that? Somebody give a whole lot of money? We've got all the money to build this building. One minor detail is right now it's stored in your bank account and your checking account and your savings account and that piece of property you own. It's all stored all those places right now. But we've got everything needed to build this building. And I'm like, you might say, well, that's a little bit manipulative. Actually, it's right on as far as a truthful way to look at this project. It all belongs to God anyway, right? So one of the guys in the service this morning said, it's kind of like your kids giving you Christmas presents. Like, as the dad, guess what? You paid for all those presents. But they still get to give the presents. They're not thinking about where the money came from. And they have the joy of giving and seeing their dad bless. That's in a lot of ways what we're talking about. That's what we are a part of. Amen? So we're not the first group that's ever had to put up a building. Okay? You go through any small town in the U.S. of A, I guarantee you, there's probably more than one, at least one church in that town, probably a Methodist church. And so we're not the first group that's had to, you know, tackle this challenge. So I just want to let you know, for me, let's fast forward. So Tabernacle Temple today. For a while, I was kind of dreading this, to be honest with you. But the more I've been thinking about it, and chewing on it, and praying about it, and reading the Word, I'm like getting more and more and more excited about this. You know, it's going to be more than just a building at the end. God's going to cause us to grow. There's going to be challenges. You know, there's be lots of opportunity for people to get their, you know, nose bent out of shape when they see the color of the carpet or, you know, whatever. I mean, all these kind of little unimportant things, we need to make sure that they don't become too important, okay? We'll have lots of opportunity to give, to sow, to serve, to keep the unity in the church. And but I just am convinced that God really wants to not only put up a building, but cause us to grow. And I want to see God's hand. I want to see his faithfulness on display. I want to see all of us, our faith, just to kind of be kicked up several notches of God's power and his provision. Because the reality is, Governor New York needs a thriving, healthy, life-giving, gospel-preaching, Holy Ghost filled people in Governor New York. It really is super, super important for what God wants to do. Amen? So as of right now, again, this we're going to receive the offering now, but this isn't, I'm not trying to close a deal on this. I know there's some people that hasn't yet been able to sit in one of these meetings and get a greater level of detail regarding the building plan, so that's fine. I'm going to keep doing that, and I want to try to keep moving that along. Some of you, though, have been in some of these meetings, and I, again, just ask you to prayerfully consider, Lord, what do you want me to do? We've had several pretty large gifts come in. We have over 32,000 right now, and we've also had 8 like monthly pledges, and those 8 pledges add up to like $13,000 for the next calendar year, okay? So, but that's 8. I would love it. I'm hoping by the end of this, everybody in our church family has an opportunity, even if it's a small amount. And I, or let me put it this way. Somebody that I know said to me, well, this is our initial, like, commitment to give, but we're hoping to give some more once we get a couple of bills paid off, yeah. You know? So, again, this is not going to be a quick fix. This is not going to, you know, I want you to like think about this, you know, what can you give for this year? That would be the question you'd be asking the Lord. It'll really help us in planning and moving forward. And again, the properties need to sell and there's all kinds of moving parts, but this is actually a huge part, is God's people, actually God putting on people's heart what he wants them to do for this project. Amen. So, guys, why don't you come on up? So I'll just pray today, if that's okay, all right? Father, we just thank you. Lord, both of these instances in the tabernacle and the temple, it was an act of worship. People were excited. They were rejoicing. Lord, they weren't giving grudgingly at all. And so, Lord, we just want to do the same thing. Lord, everything we have, every resource we have, it really does belong to you. It's because you've blessed our lives. You've given us the ability to work. Whatever it might be, everything we have, Father, really does belong to you. So, Lord, we want to obey. We want to do exactly what you want us to do. We want to give exactly what you want us to give. Lord, stretch us. Lord, even bring in money and resources from ways we're not even aware of right now. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And we just pray at the end of this process, it's going to be more than just a nice building that seats all of us. But Lord, it's going to be a testimony to the community of your faithfulness, your power. You're going to be praised and honored and glorified in this whole process. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.